Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to be back with you again. I figured they'd probably kick me out and never let me be back the last time, but we made it. Thank you for allowing me to have the honor and a privilege of being with you today. It's a blessing always, and what a wonderful, sweet spirit we've had in the service already with the testimonies and how God has blessed us. And no doubt, even I don't care if you're saved or unsaved this morning, no doubt you could stand and say that God has been good. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles in Luke, we're going to read a few verses this morning, Luke chapter 23, and start in verse 13. Very familiar scriptures, of course. Luke 23 and verse 13. And the Bible says, "And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one of that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity we must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made into the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence to that it should be as they required." On the southern border of the empire of Cyrus, there lived in this day a great chieftain named Cagilar. And he tore to shreds and completely defeated the various detachments of Cyrus's army sent to subdue him. And finally, the emperor had had enough, and massing his whole army, he marched down, surrounded and overwhelmed Cagilar's forces, captured him and his wife, and brought them to the capital for execution. On the scheduled day of execution, he and his wife were brought to the judgment chamber, and Cagilar, a fine-looking man of more than 6 feet, with a noble manner about him, a magnificent specimen of a man. So impressed with Cyrus, with Cagilar's appearance, that he said to Cagilar, "What would you do if I spare your life?" He said, "Your Majesty, if you spare my life, I'll return to my home and remain in your obedient servant as long as I live." Then Cyrus said, "What would you do if I spared the life of your wife?" He said, "Your Majesty, if you spared the life of my wife, I would die for you." So Cyrus was so moved with compassion for Cagilar's words and his attitude and his selflessness of his life, and he freed them both and returned them to the homeland, made him governor of the town. Upon arriving home, Cagilar reminisced about the trip with his wife and started talking about it, and he says, "Did you see the tapestries on the walls as we went down the corridor in the throne room?" He said, did you see the throne on which the emperor was sitting? It must have been carved of pure gold." And his wife replied very solemnly, she says, "No, I don't remember any of that." He says, in amazement, "What do you remember then? If you didn't notice all that finery and gold and all that amazing stuff, what do you remember? His wife looked at him and said, I remember only the face of a man that who said he would die for me. The only thing she remembered was the face of the man who said, I will die for you. This morning, folks, as we call it in the Christian world, it has for some time, it's called Palm Sunday. Very amazing time. It was a wonderful time. It's where Jesus is coming into town and Jerusalem. He's making his way there. And as he's making his way there, it's some spectacular events are happening. It's a day of celebration for many of the of this Jesus' triumphal entry. And as he comes in on a donkey and they're raising the palm leaves and starting saying, Hosanna, King of Kings, Jews. He's so excited about Jesus returning. And being the king, of course, they had the wrong mindset, the wrong attitude, even the wrong thought and theology and philosophy of why Jesus was coming and the kind of king that he would become. But they still were celebrating him. For the next few days, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians and the chief priests were going to grill Jesus with all kinds of questions to try to trick him into something that he wasn't going to be tricked in, but he was trying their best. And after that, of course, you know about the many events that come up to it where people was wanting to have him as their king. The cleansing of the temple, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, the Last Supper, and then the partaking of the Passover meal together. It was an amazing time during this time. And following that meal, of course, you remember that Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus spent time in prayer, grueling over what was about to happen, praying and seeking God. I always think about that every time. If Jesus was so adamant and so passionate about God, praying to the Lord, the Father, then shouldn't we be that? That always runs through my head. I can't even say that line without ever thinking that I should be praying just like he was praying, adamantly, passionately praying to the Father if he thought it was so important. And then, of course, the Garden of Gethsemane was followed by where Jesus, the betrayer, came and kissed Jesus on the cheek and brought the temple guards to arrest him. For the rest of that night, Jesus had to endure the scorn and the abuse, and heaped upon all that, he had to take the beating that I deserved. That beating rolls in my mind over and over. I don't know if you've ever watched it. If you haven't, you ought to, if you can. I don't know if I've ever made it through the whole movie, but the Passion of the Christ. The first time I started watching that movie, we was at a theater when it first came out and had a group of people, I think, with us. And when we went over to watch The Passion of the Christ, I was watching this on the screen. And as I was watching Jesus and how he was taking the beating, I became physically ill. Listen, I've delivered 25 babies, took care of people with heart attacks, took people with strokes and everything in between. I was a doctor in Guatemala. Not really. I went to school to be a nurse, but was a missionary as a doctor. I've seen blood. I've seen gore. I've seen problems. I've seen issues with people, but I have never seen anything quite like that. The fact that that was the Son of God, my Savior, and they put him on that cross, and they were whipping him to the very core. As you look at history and look into what the Bible tells about, and then also look at what historians are saying, that Jesus was not only whipped so brutally and violently, but he was whipped to the point that his own mother really couldn't recognize who he was. He was whipped to the core, that where he'd take the straps and the bones and the glass and rip his shreds out of his back. It was awful. It's horrible. It's the most gruesome thing that I've ever watched in my life. Jesus did it because he was willing to die for me. Oh, by the way, he is willing to die for you too. Isn't that amazing? Listen, we can stop right there and it'd be enough. Every one of us should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending your only begotten son and coming to the cross, allowing him to be beaten on my behalf. But can I tell you, it didn't stop there. So after he was beaten to a pulp, he was completely beaten to the shreds. And then they would sit there and make fun of him. It would put him on trial. And they would sit there and say, "We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas." He was a thief. He was a murderer. He was an awful person. He never done anything good for anybody. And yet that's what sin will do. It will make black white and white black. It will make good wrong and wrong good. It will make the whole world turned upside down. I don't know if you can get that or not, but that's exactly what's going on right now. Sin is destroying our country. It's destroying our world. Sin is taking us in places that we never dreamed we would be in. And most of you that are sitting here today that's lived very long at all can understand exactly what I'm saying. Sin destroys everything. It takes everything good and it rips it out of you. Jesus was willing to die for my sins. But since the witnesses couldn't get their lives straight and they couldn't get the right answers out of Jesus that they wanted to be able to make him guilty, so they sat there and they were certainly willing to put him to death. But they couldn't put him to death. Jews could not put him to death by law, so what they had to do is wait. Because they were beating him in the evening. You're not supposed to even do that. It's completely against the Jewish law. But they were beating him in the evening. They'd done so much, so why not go all the way, right? I remember the song that says, "Sin will take you so much farther than you want to go. It'll make you pay much more than you want to pay. And it'll keep you a lot longer than you want to stay." That's kind of where the Jewish Sanhedrin got. That's where the Jewish leaders. Now, you got to remember, this was the religious leaders of the day. This was people that went to church all the time. I'm not trying to be mean or judgmental to anybody. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I just tell you the way it is. And then if you get mad, I'm sorry. Not really, but you're sorry. But I believe there's a lot of people in the church that's worse off than people in the world. I know you didn't like that. I didn't like it either when I said it, but it's still the truth. I think there's a lot of religious people in the church worse off than the religious or the people that's out in sin in the world. You say, how in the world can you say such a statement? I'll tell you, I listened to a lot of a long time ago, and some of you probably, well, many of you know, and some of you will not know probably if you're new or not been around the church long, but a wonderful man that was a tremendous preacher named Emerson Wilson. You might recognize the name. And I heard him say that I wish a whole bunch of us would go get drunk. And that way you would know what God already knows, that we're not where we need to be with God. Now, I didn't say it. He said it. I'm repeating it. So don't get mad at me about that one. And he's dead and gone and went to glory. So you can't get really, it wouldn't do you no much good to get mad at him. But sometimes we need to realize how religious we are instead of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to see how cold and calculated and legalistic that we become instead of saying, I love Jesus because he loved me and was willing to die for my sins. Sometimes we sit in churches and we start getting judgmental. You can shout amen or say, ouch, I don't care which one. But we become judgmental because we have dressed up a little bit. We talk a little different. We come to church when we're supposed to. We get religious and we're better than those folks now. I got news for you, sweetheart. The only thing that's different between you and them, if you're saved this morning, is the grace of God. The grace was not earned by you. You didn't pay for it. You couldn't make it. And that's why Jesus had to go to the cross to die for your sins and for my sins. And by the way, for their sins too. Amen? The grace is free gift from God. That's what grace is. And if it was not for the mercy of God, something he paid a price that you didn't have, you could not pay, and you didn't deserve. That's what mercy is. So if it was not for the grace and the mercy of God, folks, we would have been gone to hell a long time ago. Every one of us in this building have had encounters, no doubt, with death. Sometimes we knew about it, and sometimes we had no clue. Either way, it's by the grace and the mercy and the favor of God that has allowed us to be here this morning. Those religious folks had gotten to a place where they were so judgmental that the Son of God stood before them and yet they couldn't see it. I wonder how many of us in this church house, I wonder how many people's listening by Facebook or YouTube or wherever you're listening. I wonder how many of us have gotten so close to Jesus, but we can't even see it. He speaks to us and we can't hear it. He tries to woo us and we will not respond. God wants to help us this morning. Christ didn't come to the world to kill everybody and to wipe them out. He came in the world that he might not condemn, but he might save them. That's what John 3:16 and 3:17 tells us. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn them, but to save them and to save us. Listen, we got to be careful that we don't get so legalistic that we're no good to anyone, including ourselves. I'll say my statement one more time and I'll move on so you don't look at me so mean now. I think there's a lot of people in church that's worse shape than one people out there. The reason is because they know they're lost. Sometimes we don't know that we're without God. We can go on without church. We can go on with church services. We can sing our songs. We can raise a hand. We can participate. We can clean the church. We can do all kinds of stuff. But we have no relationship. And without a relationship, without accepting Christ in your heart, without living for him and loving him, friend, you ain't got nothing. You have nothing. I didn't come to get on to you. I'm no one to get on to anybody. I'm nobody's judge. I don't want to be. But I do believe that we're almost there. But some of us are just on the outside of where we're supposed to be. A poet wrote, of all the words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Do you hear that? Of all the words of tongue or pen, the saddest words are, it might have been. I like to say in this particular case, Pilate had the most amazing offer that he could release the Son of God. He had the most amazing position that he could let loose the Son of God. And he had the most amazing power that he could say, let him go. He ain't done anything wrong. Pilate was in that position. And he could have set Jesus free. We might even call him Pilate, Saint Pilate right now. Wow, what an amazing man. He let the Son of they wanted to crucify him, but he set him free. What an amazing man. How would change eternity? How would change the Bible? How would it change our viewpoint of what we're looking at? Do you understand the decisions you and I make change everything? What you do, how you act, what you say, how you live your life changes the outcome of where you're headed. You say, well, it's not a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Pilate had face to face a crossroads in his life, and they said, you can either let him go and let Barabbas, who deserved probably to be punished and to be put to death, but yet he chose to listen to people that shouldn't have been listened to. Now, I know none of us have ever done that. We've never listened to the wrong voices. We've never listened to the wrong friends. We've never listened to the wrong people, but let's just pretend that we have. You see, Pilate could have listened to his wife. His wife says, let him go. I've been woke up in a dream, and I don't think we ought to do this. Pilate, please, just listen to me. Just let him go. He's not done anything wrong. Let him go. His wife was trying to persuade him. She wasn't even a Christian, but she could see that this man was not meant to be put to death, that he should have been let go. He was free. He should have been innocent. You see, you got people all around you that's trying to tell you and help you and guide you and lead you. You got people that God's put in your life to help you to go in the right direction. But let's face it, too many times we don't decide to listen to them. We listen to what we want to. We allow our flesh to lead us rather than God's guidance. That's true. Amen. And then even Pilate could have said it. He even tried to convince him. He said, listen, this man ain't done anything wrong. He's already had the idea and he already knew that this guy was innocent. He could have listened to that, what we call inner voice, the conscience, or better yet, the spirit that he had. God was speaking to his spirit and says, hey, that's my son. He's not guilty of anything. And Pilate could have let him go. He could have listened to his own conscience, but he didn't do that either. Pilate overrode his conscience because of the voices on the outside of him speaking and screaming at him. I wonder how many times we have messed up in this world because we've listened to the wrong voices. We've listened to the masses. We've listened to the popular voices, and we've listened to the popular belief, and we listened to the stinking media. And I said stinking, by the way, because I can't stand it anymore. Somebody needs to say it. We listen to politicians that lie every time their teeth are opening up and their tongues are waggling. They're lying to us. And we'll listen to them more than we'll Jesus. Something's wrong. And there needs to be men and women to stand up and say, let him go. Instead of saying, oh, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to cause any waves. I don't want to cause any problems. I just my family and we're okay. So that's, you know, just, we can't change it anyway. Hello? What can we do? I mean, we're just a little group. We can't, what are we going to do? Oh, I got an idea. Let's do nothing. Let's just stand in the crowd and do nothing. We're not going to scream, let Barabbas go, but we're just going to stand in the crowd and do absolutely nothing. You're just as guilty doing nothing for the cause of Christ as you're doing, singing, crucifying, crucifying. People walk into churches all the time and they walk out not saying no, but not saying yes. You're just as sinful that way as if you had said, I don't ever want to talk to you again, Jesus. The reason is you're making a choice. I don't like that, preacher. It don't matter if you like it, it's still true. Liking is not my job. I'm not here to make you like me. I'm here to make you listen to me because Jesus is trying to say, I'm willing to go across for you because I love you and I'm willing to sacrifice my life for yours. I wonder this morning how many of us need to come and just bow our heads and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've not said crucify you, but I've not said I'm on fire for you either. I'm just somewhere in the middle. You know, the Revelations talks a little bit about that position. He says, if you're not hot and you're not cold, then that means you're lukewarm. And you know what that does to Jesus? Do you know what that does to the Father in heaven? You know what it says about him? It says, oh, you're okay. No, I'm sorry, that's not right. You ain't reading your Bible if that's what you thought it said. What it says is, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a Kentuckian. I live in Dayton. Well, I live in Xenia, pastor in Dayton, but I'm from Kentucky. Get the from Kentucky part, okay? And from Kentucky, a good old Kentuckian translation, that means you make me sick to my stomach. That's what that means. I wonder this morning how many of us are sitting in pews, not hot for Jesus, not doing anything for the cause of Christ, not trying to advance the kingdom, but we're just listening to the voices and saying, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm going to be okay. Friend, I'm telling you, we're in the position of Pilate. We're making a decision this morning. Oh, not on the case of Jesus. It's already been tried. It's already been judged, and he's already been crucified. But it's on the case of you. It's our case on the line now. You see, our case is the one that's in the battle. Our case is in the one that's on the trial. Our case is the one that the judge is looking down. And he said, listen, what are you going to do? I'm giving you all the possibilities, all the chances, all that you need to be able to get out of jail free. Because it's already been paid for, but you are still unwilling to accept that. We're never going to get to the judgment seat of God and say, well, listen, God, I'm here because I wasn't treated fairly. Well, I'm here because my mommy and daddy. Listen, you're 70 years old. You're 50 years old. Get over it. Amen. Sweetheart, darling, pumpkin. Get over it. If I was to ask everybody in this room, how many of you have been treated wrongly, badly, one time or another in your life? If you're over the age of 6 months, Hello. We could raise both hands and both feet if we can get them up anymore, but arthritis is killing us, so we can't do that. What I'm saying is, you are being treated badly. Okay, so you're going to make the rest of your life ruined because of something they done back there. Hello? Am I making any sense to anybody? We can't go on what used to be. I'm not going to let my future be destroyed because of my past. I'm going to pick up my past and say, by the grace and mercy and power of Jesus, I'm going to have a resurrection power. I'm going to be anointed from on high. I'm not letting anybody dragging me down. I'm not going to let an anchor back there to slow me down for Jesus today. I'm going to be on fire for Jesus. Pilate, get off your duff and start telling the world what you're going to do. Quit letting them determine your life and you start doing it yourself. God in the beginning gave man a will and he did not take it back, and he still gives us the will to be able to choose right and not wrong. I'd like to have a little talk with Adam, wouldn't you? You little sorry thing. Why in the world would you do that to me? Hello. Talk about living in the past. Let's go all the way back. Why stop at mommy and daddy? Go all the way to way mama and daddy. Let's go back to Adam. Adam, why'd you listen to that woman? Well, you don't know. You must not have been married. Them women can be pretty persuasive. Hello. Now, you brother know what I'm talking about, do you? Listen, we can make all the excuses in the world, but my question is not about what they did, because God's going to judge them on what they did. My question is what you're doing. My question is not on what Pilate did, but because I'm not Pilate. I don't have to deal with Pilate, but I have to deal with myself right now. I can't even be judged for you. I'm just being judged on me. So what am I doing? You say, that was dumb of Adam. They would eat one thing. All God told him, said, don't eat of the tree. And he says he's going to anyway. I mean, everybody can raise their hand and say, that was not too smart. Probably a dumb moment for Adam, right? I mean, everybody, it doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. Look at all the results of it, right? All the problems he had, right? Everybody's good with that? Let's go on a little farther. You know, they talked about it. Pilate, you could have let that man go. You could have been a hero instead of a zero. What was you thinking? Well, I wasn't thinking too much. You know, them people look mad. I think that was kind of a dumb decision. Anybody with me? Dumb decision to put the Son of God on the cross, send him to execution, have him beat. Listen, I think that was not a smart decision, right? So we're good on making wrong and right decisions. Now let's figure it out now. You have the opportunity this morning, right here in this place, right this second, to have the Lamb of God to be able to forgive you of your sins, wipe your past clean, and make you white as snow, and have a way to heaven. And praise the Lord, you have that opportunity by accepting it with Jesus in your heart. You say, I don't want that. Hello, Pilate. Hello, Adam. That's the same decision they made. I'm not being your judge, but you just got to make a decision here. God gave us a will to make a decision. The decision is right or wrong, heaven or hell, living holy or sinful. I can't do it. You're right. I agree. Now you're thinking rationally. You can't do it. That's why you need Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. But thank God by the grace of God that we can do all things through Christ if we'll believe in him. Amen. That's the word. Pilate made a decision that was not too smart. But you know what? He almost done the right thing. You know what almost does? If you almost win the basketball game, what do? Lose. If you almost make it home, that means you didn't make it home. If you almost had a child, that means you were childless. If you almost got married, that means, honey, you're just as single as anybody else around here. Amen? If you're almost happy, that means you are not happy. If you're almost saved, Pilate was almost in the right position to do the right thing, and yet he made the wrong decision, and so he ended up in infamy because he put Jesus to the cross. There's people who come to me, I almost made a decision today, Pastor. I almost done the right thing. I almost got saved today. God spoke to my heart, but I almost. I've done mission work most of my life, as most of you know now, and I went all over the country speaking to churches and groups and whoever listened to me, and you would not believe the amount of people that come up to me at some time or another, and they would say, you know what? I almost was a missionary. But it's amazing that three little words that can change your whole destiny. I was almost a missionary, but I got married. But I went back to school. But I had kids. But I just decided I wasn't going to go. I wonder how many of us sitting in this building right now has almost in our life. I almost. And you can fill in the blank of what God called you to do, and yet you chose not to. And I don't know what it is, and don't even, that's between you and God, but I'm telling you right now, we are going to be held in judgment because you don't know what God could have done with you if you had just listened to the Lord. Now, here's the good news. You ain't dead yet. At least I don't think some of you are. I'm worried a couple of you here, and I'm going to get somebody to take a pulse because I'm worried about you. But we're not dead yet. And because of Christ's crucifixion, he was sent to the cross so that we could be forgiven of our almost and start making a better future, better decisions, a better life, and a better heaven. You have the opportunity right now. You're in Pilate's seat. You're in the judgment seat. You're able to make the choice. You're able to make your decision. You're able to make your life better. You're able to change your kids' lives. You're able to change your grandchildren's direction. You're able to be an example to so many people. You're able to spread the gospel. You're able to advance the kingdom. You're able to do a great amount of things, but you can't do it if you're almost saved. Amen? Y'all wait. You're thinking, I hope. If you're asleep, don't tell me. Just don't snore loud. Pilate had a decision to make, and he made the wrong one. He could have listened to the voices, but he didn't. You go on with the story. Of course, Jesus was not only beaten, but he was taken to the cross. He was put on his shoulder. He had to take it to this hill called Golgotha. Translation is the hill of the skull. It looked like a skull, and they were sitting there, and they were crucifying Jesus, and they took Jesus and laid him on this cross. I hate to even think about this, but he's laid him on the cross, and he took these spikes, these three spikes, and he put his arms and his legs, and they put this stuff. Could you imagine? He was already in misery. He was already beaten with the straps from the night before. And just, I could picture in my life, if you've ever had a splinter, and touch it on any, just touch it on something, man, I tell you, it feels like it just pain goes all the way through your body. Could you imagine being beaten, have strappings all over your back, just whipped to death and laying on that? That alone would have made me screaming and hollering and shouting and said, oh, I can't do this. But Jesus was willing to endure that. And then they took the spikes and put it through his hands and his feet. And then they take this cross, and they say, take the cross up and lift it. It slid in a hole, and the weight of all his body hung on those spikes. I don't know about you, but I'd probably said, stop right now. I'll recant anything I've got. Just stop what you're doing. Please, I can't stand the pain anymore. But Jesus didn't. And then he started hanging there, and he hung between heaven and earth. And not only that, but they take these pictures and they put a loincloth around so it'd be nice for our eyes. But the truth of the matter is, he was buck naked. He didn't have anything. They wanted to humiliate him to the nth degree. They wanted to make him so mocked and maimed that they just wanted to humiliate the man. His own mother was standing in the crowd. Could you imagine the humiliation? And with all that said, he looks up to heaven and he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And they said, oh, he's calling for Elijah, the great priest that used to be the great prophet. That's what he's called. No, the closer ones heard exactly what he says. He says, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, at that very moment, Jesus was willing to take all the sin that you have committed, that I have committed, that they have committed on him. And God had to turn his head away. You're talking about love. Jesus said some amazing words on the cross, but one of them that I want to just bring out to you quickly, and I got to move along because I know you got stuff more important than this. You know, this eternal stuff, it's kind of unimportant now. We got to get to the food in case the Baptists get there before we do. I'm just half kidding on that one. But after taking the maiming off, the pain, the agony that he went through, you know what he said? You know what some of the amazing words that I remember more than any others? My Father. Forgive them. My God, my God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I'm amazed. Jesus, and all the agony that he has in his body at that particular moment, still thought about me. He's still thinking about you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what the sins that they're committing is putting me back on the cross. It's causing more pain to my heart. Father, forgive them. They don't realize how hot hell's going to be. Father, forgive them. Even Annas and Caiaphas, I don't care if it's George and John. Lord, forgive them. Forgive Pilate who sent me this cross. Forgive the Roman soldiers that put the spikes in my hands and my feet. Forgive them. I don't know if you can take that in, but I'm telling you, that's the greatest words that I've ever heard in my life. Isn't that amazing? That Christ loved me and you so much. Amen. Even after we'd done that to him. I know what you're thinking. I didn't do it to him. Oh, yes, you did. If it wasn't for your sins, he would not be there today. It's because of us that he was willing to die on a cross. Forgive him. But is it more amazing that Jesus was willing to go through all that pain, all that agony, all that humiliation, and he says, forgive us, and yet somebody can say something a little bit about me? I want to look in your eyes when I'm saying this one. Somebody can say, hey, that poor fella's getting fat. Well, I'll cut them off. How dare they? Do they know who they're talking to? Do they know who I am? Jesus was willing to forgive us on the cross. Yes. And we can't forgive anybody. We got on this high horse, this potentate position where I'm higher than you are. Who in the world do we think we have become? Who is the church? What is the church of today? Is that what Jesus died for? Is that what he taught? No. But is that what we're living? We got to be careful that we're not more like Pilate than what we think. That we're not more religious than what we know. We need to realize who we are because of the actions and how we live our life. He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. And you know what we say? Lord, vengeance is yours, saith the Lord. Come down and get them right now. Crucify them, Lord. How dare they talk to me that way? How dare they treat me that way? Who do they think they are? I believe Jesus is looking down. He says, get behind me, Satan. They have none of me in them. I know none of you guilty, but if somebody happens to be guilty down the other church, down the road, please share this with them. Because we need to be careful. You are not their judge. You're not their jury. And you shouldn't want to be. And anybody who is not sinned, you go and stand up. And when you do, I'm going to knock you down in the name of Jesus. Because every one of us in this building and out of this building and in this world has done wrong, sinned. If not for the grace of God, you and I would be burning ourselves in hell right now with wailing and gnashing of teeth. We would all be burned. But because of the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. You know what I found? You know what I found? People ready to ask for forgiveness. Oh, forgive me, forgive me. I didn't mean that text that I sent out about you. Forgive me, forgive me. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. But they're wanting forgiveness quickly. But they're slow about giving forgiveness. We're quick to judge, but we definitely don't want other people to judge us. Well, they should understand. I mean, you know, I'm just who I am. Hello? Anybody resonating with what I'm saying? Listen, we want to put the cross out somewhere 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, and just act like it doesn't affect us. Let me tell you something. We're still the same people we used to be. You would think since Adam we had learned something. Don't you think? I mean, you know, we're brilliant today. Look what we can do. I just seen the other day, if you don't know about it, it's amazing. They could take a pig kidney. Just the other day. No joke, it's on the news. And you know it's on the news, it's got to be true. So they take a pig kidney and they can put it in a human being and make it work. We think they're miraculous. Let me tell you something better than that. Jesus was willing to go to the cross to forgive you of your sins and take somebody who was headed for hell and change their direction and head them to heaven. Now that's a miracle. Amen. That's a miracle. And if you really want to put in all the miracles, that's the greatest miracle that God can ever do. Yes. He can save your soul. Friend, I'm going to ask you this morning. I'm going to close here in just a second, but I got more. But you got enough, I think. Just listen to me for just a short second. I wonder how many of this audience right now, how many of you listen to me? Are almost there. You're at the feet of Jesus. You think about the soldiers at the cross, at the bottom of the cross, gambling for his robes and gambling for his clothes. I mean, they were at the foot of the cross. Blood was no doubt dripping right close to them. They were right there as Jesus, the Son of God, hanging above them. All they had to do is stop what they're doing and look up and accept him. The guy on the right, you know, the one that was crucified with Jesus, there were three crosses that day, not just one, but three, and probably more, but at least three in this scene. And the guy on the right says, hey, will you remember me? And what Jesus said, no, you put me here, Hoss. What are you thinking, remember you? No. He says, yes, this day you shall be with me in paradise, right? That's what he said. I mean, he got forgiveness. The guy on the left was railing on Jesus. We'll go to somewhere other day, maybe if I get ever asked back. But the guy on the left was railing at Jesus and says, hey, if you can save those people, won't you save yourself? Let's get all down here, man. Let's go. We'll start a posse. Two men on the right and left, the soldiers at the foot, all of them could have the same salvation, but they refused it except for one on the right. We have a crowd here this morning. Every one of you could be saved. Every one. The blood was able to be applied to every one of your heart. Salvation can come to every one of you. You could be free of your sin. You could be free of your past. You could have a new life. The Bible says you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. And every one of us could be saved and on our way to heaven right this minute. Every one of us. And every one of them, by the way. But only one out of the four that I named accepted. Only one received it. Only one went to heaven that we know of. I wonder this morning, Pilate, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep making the same mistakes you've always made? Are you going to keep ending up where you always ended up? Are you going to say, I'm changing this direction. I'm going to do something. It's radical. Maybe you don't understand it. Maybe you can't comprehend it. But you're going to say, I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to accept Jesus. And I'm going to live for Jesus. And I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. And I want to see where that takes me. Because I can guarantee your choices ain't been taking you where you want to be. You're searching for something. And Jesus is saying, here, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here to give you what you need. This morning, this day, is a day that the Lord has made, and you can rejoice this morning or you can go away in sadness. You see, I still give you the same choice Jesus did, because I'm just speaking out of the word. God says, I am here. And if you'll come unto me and you'll give me yourself, I will load your light, I will make your load light and your burdens light, and I'll make your life better, because I'll be with you even to the end. He forgave you. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you've been forgiven. You know Jesus forgives you, but the problem you're having is you can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive yourself. You've done things. You've said things. You've hurt people. You've been places. I'll never be good enough. I can't do it. I can't. Jesus came. I hear this crazy statement. Well, if I go in the church house, the roof might fall in. Honey, if we ain't got no better trust than that, we need to fall in before we get there. It ain't about the strength of the roof. It's about the strength of the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's hill. That's what gives us strength. Amen? I hear people tell me all the time. I've heard all kinds of excuses. I'm sure you have too. Well, I've lived too long, and I've done too much, and God could never forgive me. You're right. I agree. You're the first time I can't argue back. You know, he can forgive Saul. He just murdered a bunch of people in the church. He just terrorized them. He just tormented them. You know, he can forgive him, but you're right. You're much worse than that. That was supposed to be funny. Because if he can forgive a fellow like that, don't you think you can be forgiven? Hello? We can make up all the excuses in the world. Pilate probably said, well, those people were loud. And they were scary looking, and that's why I put Jesus to the cross. You can make all the excuses in the world you want, but can I tell you something? All the excuses in the world ain't going to get you to heaven. It's going to take your joy, it's going to destroy you, and it's going to stomp you out. Quit using excuses and start manning up. Start being the woman God's created you to be. Say, yes, Lord. My friends won't understand, but I'm going to do what you asked me to. Yes, Lord. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to do I'm going to accept you in my life. I'm going to be able to stand up in a few years and say, God saved me on this day. And I thank God that I got to Jesus when I did, because I knew I was in misery. I was in pain. I was in agony. I was ready to die lost, but God changed my direction. Instead of making excuses, let's stand up. Not only does Jesus forgive you, not only do you need to forgive yourself, but can I tell you something? What's holding a lot of people up from heaven? You ready for this one? You won't forgive others. Now, I know we don't like this because it puts a little bit of a weight on us and it makes us accountable. Can I tell you something? When you don't forgive others, do you realize the Bible says if you do not forgive, they will not be forgiven? If you say amen, then you know what it says, right? The Bible clearly says if you don't forgive, then you will not be forgiven. If you judge, then you'll be judged. My question to you this morning is, we need to forgive somebody else. You know that guy that done us wrong a long time ago, that mom or dad, their aunt or uncle, that's whoever it is back here that done something to you, let it go. It's not worth your soul to hang on to whatever that was. Let it go. How long do you want to be miserable? How long do you want to be defeated? How long do you want to be separated from God because of somebody else? They're still controlling you. They're still controlling you. If you're still angry about something back here, you are lost. They need to be forgiven. Amen? I don't like that. I didn't ask you to like it. I asked you to accept it because it's true. I don't have to tell you something you like. I have to tell you the Word of God. That's my job today. I'm not running for a politician's group. I'm not looking for your political group. I'm not looking for some kind of popular belief. I'm looking for Jesus, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to do what He tells me to, whether the whole bunch of you don't like it. Because one day I'm going to meet the Savior. And I don't want to be almost there. I don't want to be almost saved. I don't want to almost make it to heaven. I'm going all the way and split her wide open. Amen. I want to run my race well. I want to finish well. I want to be strong in the race. I want to tell Jesus I've done everything I can. And I hope and pray somebody in this room does too. It's your choice. It's your decision. Let God forgive you. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Put it all right here. Say, Lord, here I am. I need you. I can't do this alone. But I know you can do all things. So I'm going to trust you. I've kind of trusted you back here, but I really need to completely trust you today. Amen? Oh, if you'd stand with me. I'm going to ask you, as I lead you in prayer and we're going to have an altar song, I want to ask you a very serious question. I want you to consider this question, not thinking about your husband, your wife, or friends, or whoever else is around you. I want you to consider this question like this way. Listen to me. One second, I promise you I'll get you out of here. I want you to think of this, that you're looking right now, right in the eyes of Jesus. That Jesus is standing right in front of you. And He says, I want to forgive you. Will you accept it? You see, that's where it comes down to. Jesus says, I was willing to die. I was willing to suffer. I was willing to take the pain, and I'm right now here with you. I'm with you, because He is. And He's looking directly in each of your eyes, and He says, okay. I said, Father, forgive them. That means He's forgiven you. But will you accept this forgiveness? He's given you grace and mercy and salvation, but are you willing to accept it? You can stand there and you can walk out of this building and you can just say, forget it. I'm not doing it. I'm not listening. Listen, don't worry. You won't be the first, and you definitely won't be the last, I'm sure. Or you could change your life. You can change your misery to happiness, joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You can take your chaotic life and you can have a peace in your heart. Peace that passes understanding, the Bible says. It's your choice. Well, preacher, you don't understand. There's so many hypocrites in this church. Well, first church I ever come to had a hypocrite in it. I'm glad I'm here. Got you just in time. Friend, if you're going to determine your salvation on something other than your decision before Jesus, then you will not ever be saved. If you're determining your salvation on your husband or wife, you may never reach Jesus. If you're determining your salvation on your past and your history and your wrongdoings, you will never be where you need to be. You need to let all that junk go and you need to say, Jesus, I don't care what it costs me. I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to die for you. Jesus says, I'll forgive you. Do you accept it? This morning I'm praying that some of you, all of you, any of you, say, yes, Lord. I need forgiveness. I need happiness. I need joy. Lord, I need to be saved. And I want heaven. Forgive me. I lead you in prayer. I invite you to come and let's fill this altar. And let's tell us, God, either how we need forgiven, how we need to forgive somebody, or how we're thankful that we already have forgiveness. Whatever your case, now is your time. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Our heart is simply overwhelmed by the wonderful spirit we felt in this place from the beginning to now, by how you're speaking to our hearts and how you're using your word and how, God, you give us the message. Or we don't know who you're trying to talk to, and who you're trying to reach and what's going on in their life, but God, we acclaim your promises. You said, ask and we shall receive. So we're asking in the name of Jesus that we rebuke everything that's unlike you, that God, we rebuke all the wiles of the devil, all the temptations of the world, all the junk that's going on in their minds and hearts that's trying to confuse them and clutter their minds. We're asking, God, that you clear the path and allow them to come unto you. Seek your face while you still may be found. Bless them, Lord. Help them. Help them in the name of Jesus. Help them. By the crucifixion, by the resurrection, help them. God, we need you today. We need forgiveness. Everyone in this room, in one degree or another, needs forgiveness. Every one of us need to be forgiven. Every one of us need to forgive ourselves of things that we've done. But God, every one of us need to forgive someone else. God, help us today. Help us today. To mind you, to listen to you, to accept you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Page 152.
Brother Justin leads us in this song of invitation. I invite you to come. I invite you to come and say, Lord, here I am. I accept. I'm ready to move forward. I need you. Well, I'm saved, preacher. Great. Then you got a lot to come and rejoice about. And thank the Lord for your salvation. And pray for other people that's not saved. Amen. I've been coming to this church for a long time. Wonderful. You ought to have a lot to be thankful for. And no doubt there's a few things you need to get changed. Because if you're like everybody else, you get comfortable. Complacent, satisfied with where I used to be. I don't know about you. I've seen great revivals. I've been in great camp meetings and wonderful salvation all over the place. But that was yesterday. I want to see something now. I brought my two grandsons and my granddaughter with me this morning. I want them to have a church where they see the living God saving souls, resurrecting, blessing, helping, encouraging, strengthening, healing. I want to see that kind of church. I don't believe God's give up yet. Some of us may, but God's never give up on us. He still says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If you'd like to come and pray, I invite you right now. Come. Seek the Lord while he might be found.